So I listened to the entire 2 hours of audio that included Richard Hopkins being investigated by the post office, and it was a little bit painful, but let's just start from the top. The argument that he was coerced is going to be thrown out the window. From the very beginning, these officers made it very clear that he did not have to be here. He did not have to talk to them. In fact, they said, you can tell us to go kick rocks at any point in time if you want to. They also took it upon themselves to explain various terminology that they were using because they wanted to be very clear. And it was actually kind of interesting because as Richard was talking, he's one of those people who, when he's talking to police, he wants to make it seem like he knows a lot more than he does because he took a class one day or he applied for a position once. And I'm not trying to knock the man, but they literally have years of experience under their belt. Like, you were not the same. So he was actually trying to rush through some of the paperwork they wanted him to complete. And they said, no. We need to explain this. And we need to make sure that you understand it before you sign anything, before we continue on with this interview. So they did that. Throughout the interview, they made sure that they checked in on him. Are you okay? Are you under stress? If he looked like he was under stress, you could tell because they were just like, are you okay? Do you want to stop? Do you want to take a break? Let's just go on to what Richard's day was like. Richard said he got in there and he got a notice from one of the higher-ups that she was going around from bay to bay and basically telling everyone at work that they had to pick up the ballots on their routes, and when they were to pick them up, they were to bring them back and hand them off to their supervisor at the time. Now, this was the 5th, okay? They had to pick up ballots for the 4th, the 5th, and the 6th. Now, he didn't understand why they were doing this, but he did what he was told. He went on his route. He said he found one ballot on his route. He brought it back, and on the back of the ballot, he wrote November 5th, 2020. That's what he said. Then he said he put it into a bin. Now, the bin that he put the ballot into only had about 4 to 5 ballots at the time. He also said he turned it over to his closing supervisor. So this was at the end of the day. So at the time when he got back towards the end of the day, there were 4 to 5 ballots that he had picked up on that were picked up on the 5th. When he got back, as he was sitting around, he said there weren't that many people there. He heard two people having a conversation. And he, according to how he's describing it, he's hearing things in snippets. He says he hears something about the 4th ballots collected. So the ballots were collected on the 4th. Then he said he heard something about markings. Then he said he heard something about most were the 3rd, but one was for the 4th. At this point, he looks back and he's like, what? He said he turned around, he made eye contact with the two guys, and then he turned around and he just walked away from the conversation. He then went to talk to a few people about what he should do, how he should handle it, and at the end of the day, he opted to go out to Project Veritas, and that's when they crafted the statement. Now, the Project Veritas statement made it seem as if there was this one person who had this kind of scheme going on where they were taking ballots that they had collected on the 4th and backdating them to the 3rd. And that they were going to be doing this for all of the ballots that they were going to be collecting for the 4th, the 5th, and the 6th, okay? That was the overall spirit of the statement. That is not even a spirit, it's the exact wording of what the statement said from Project Veritas. According to Richard, the lawyers of Project Veritas crafted that statement. Now, Project Veritas disagrees. They're trying to say that these were his words. So we already see that they're kind of, you know, leaving him out to dry a little bit because they understand that they can't fall on his sword for him. Throughout the interview, they were getting down to the nitty-gritty and the details of what he heard and exactly what he heard. Even that comment, that snippet that Project Veritas put out about them twisting him, That was in response to Richard saying, because at the beginning he started to realize, he's like, I'm starting to doubt what I said. And at that point was when the investigator looked at him and said, well, that can happen. He said, because we are twisting you in a way. And as a result of going through this process, i.e. them going through statement by statement and getting down to exactly what he said, you're going to notice that certain things are going to change. As they're doing this, that is exactly what happens. They are trying to get him down to specific phrasings. They're like, if you don't know the answer, you can say, I don't know. But they're really trying to get him down to what specific words that he heard. Again, he heard ballots picked up on the 4th, something about markings, multiple from the 3rd, but this one's from the 4th. That's what he heard. He offered up the possibility that he was assuming that they were backdating ballots. And they even asked him, did you hear the word backdate? He said no. They asked him, did you hear the word remark? He said no. And he didn't hear anything other than the few snippets of a conversation that he heard. He didn't hear anything explicit about them trying to purposefully take the ballots from the 4th, the 5th, the 6th, and backdate them as he claimed in his affidavit. When it comes to retracting his statement, he did indeed retract his statement, whether he wants to acknowledge it or not. And I think for him, because Project Veritas did a lot of the heavy lifting in crafting the statement, in his mind, he never retracted, but he did, because what the investigators then decided to do was to go through the affidavit paragraph by paragraph, sentence by sentence, and tell us what is true and what we need to amend, because when they read the statement back to him, he did not agree with that statement. So they went through it and started to amend the statement to basically say that he made assumptions. Now, they said it was a logical assumption or logical conclusion. It's whatever. I have a lot of feelings about how they treated him during this process, but whatever, especially compared to how they would treat certain other individuals, but that's just me. But he went through the statement and admitted that he made certain assumptions about what he heard based off of snippets of information that he had gotten. He even took back the idea that there was anything of backdating. Like I said he did not hear the word backdate when he overheard that conversation. This idea that there was any type of instruction or anything like that, that also went out the window. So the statement that he amended with them changed significantly compared to what the statement was. The previous statement you said, legally, whether you want to admit it or not, was that you heard this man saying that they were going to backdate the ballot, and that that was the plan that was going forward, and that you guys were to collect all these ballots for these 3 days, and that they were going to be backdated. And the fact of the matter is you did not hear that. You assumed that that's what they were doing based off of the pieces of information that you heard, but you can't be 100% sure, and he, throughout this entire process, admits that he's not 100% sure. That's really what it boils down to. Therefore, he did indeed retract his statement, so he can't say that he didn't retract. He did. His official statement was the Veritas statement. And when he went through that Veritas statement, affidavit, and changed all the wording, he retracted a lot of what he said. The spirit of it just completely fell apart, because you made very clear and concise accusations that you later admitted you don't even know if they were true. So you did indeed retract your statement. Going forward, one of the things he talked about was he did not know why they were still picking up ballots for the 5th, the 6th, and the 8th, because the election had ended on the 3rd. And this is where it's important to understand what the news is. And I'm not entirely sure how he missed this, particularly given that he worked at the post office at the time. There was a law that was passed by the state. It was even challenged by the court, by the Republicans in court, that they were allowed to extend the collection of ballots by mail for 3 days. Okay, state passed a law, Republicans challenged it, the court upheld it, that was the law. All they were doing was doing their job. And I'm trying to figure out how he did not know this. And I know a lot of us, especially if you've been on a job for a long time, you get to a point where you just become automatic. And you're in these meetings and you're hearing all these things and some things go in your ear and out the other. Maybe that was the case. But at the end of the day, I highly doubt that any of his higher-ups or his supervisors did not inform all of them of what was happening and why they were doing what they were doing. That is what I really find hard to believe about this. At the end of the day, there was nothing really crazy going on. Ultimately, what happened was is that they were supposed to collect ballots from the 4th, the 5th, and the 6th. And what they were doing was they were taking those ballots and they were segregating them away from the rest of the population. Because he was confused too. Why weren't they going into the main male population like the other male? They were being segregated and put to the side. It was the same thing that they did when they were curing the ballots and they were being challenged in court. They had to segregate those ballots and put them to the side until the court had made their decisions and made their ruling. So that's all that they were doing for those 3 days. They were supposed to do their job. They were supposed to collect ballots. They were segregating the ballots. And even according to him, there weren't that many ballots that were actually coming back. Like I said, he came back at the end of the day. When he looked in that bin, there were only 5 ballots in that bin. So there was not this massive amount of fraud because everything about this was legal. And there was not this massive influx of new voters because, again, they were only collecting a few ballots for these over these 3 days. That's all I got when it comes to Richard and this whistleblower activity. I just do not think it's going to go anywhere at all. So, adios.